I say praise the Lord. I want to declare this morning that indeed it's a privilege to be in the presence of the Almighty God, and it's doubly a privilege to be a partaker of the blessings of God. And you are a partaker of His blessing this morning in Jesus' name. You will thank God that God is going to speak to you this morning. Can we just rise on our feet, please? Oh Lord my God, how I in awesome wonder consider all the works thy hand has made. I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunders, the path throughout the universe display. Then sing my soul, then sing my soul, my Savior God to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sing my soul, my Savior God to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. I want you to just worship the Lord. Express how great the Lord is to you. Express how mighty our Father is to you. Just glorify His name. Just bless His name this morning. He is such a good God. He is a mighty God. There is none like Him. There is none to be compared to Him. Thank you, Father, that we have a word like your word that is able to save us, that is able to deliver us, that is able to change our destiny for good, that is able to change our lives. We thank you because we are becoming fruitful by reason of the word that comes forth to renew us every day, that transforms our life every day, because the entrance of your word giveth life. It gives understanding even unto the simple. Father, the simplicity of our heart is enlightened this morning. We gain understanding through your word, O God. And that is why we will be able to go out from here and do exploits in your name, in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, for sending your word, for healing us this morning, for delivering us from our diseases and our destructions. Father, we bless you. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Please be seated. God bless you. I want us to open our Bibles to the book of Psalms, chapter 24, verse 3 to 6. Psalm 24, verse 3 to 6. To the hill of the Lord, or who shall stand in his holy place? He that had clean hands and a pure heart, who had not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. He shall receive the blessing from the Lord, and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is the generation of them that seek him, that seek thy face, O Jacob. You become a God seeker from today in Jesus' name. For some time now, we've been talking about spiritual generations. And last week, we spoke about the generation that's of God seekers and praisers. They go together. We spoke about the generation of God seekers and praisers. And I want to believe that you are one of them in Jesus' name. We said a few things about those who seek God and seek to praise Him. We said these are the people who will hold back nothing from God. They will hold back nothing from God because they seek Him. We say their preoccupation is to please God. That is what is uppermost in their hearts. We say true seekers and praisers of God, they are not seasonal worshippers or seasonal Christians. They don't do it only when it is convenient. We say they are guaranteed God's presence as God inhabits their praise. And we said God seekers and praisers will see and celebrate miracles. This year, you will experience miracles in your life, and you are going to celebrate Jesus because of His goodness that you will see in your life in Jesus' name. I wish to continue from there, but just before I continue, I want to refer us back to the Sunday school of this morning and remember John 6:63 and Galatians 5:22, that the fruit of hearing the words of God result in change or changes to people's lives. You will bring forth much fruit from the word of today in Jesus' name. The next point that I want to take is that is something that most of us probably don't appreciate very much. And that is, God seekers and praisers are hallowed unto the Lord. God seekers and praisers are what? They are hallowed unto the Lord. Remember, hallowed be thy name. They are hallowed unto the Lord. Those who seek God, those who seek to see the kingdom of God expand, the desire, the purpose of God come to pass, they are special to God. So much so that God hallows them. In other words, God declares them a holy thing unto Himself. You know what it is like when God decides to set something or somebody aside for Himself and decide that this person is holy, a holy vessel unto Him. It's a wonderful place to be. Although it is a place of responsibility, but I want to let you know that it's a wonderful place to be. How many of us want to be hallowed unto the Lord? You better seek Him. As you diligently seek Him, God will hallow you unto Himself. He will set you aside. You become the apple of God's eye. You become the preserved of the Lord. You become God's business for the day. Every day of your life. How can somebody touch you? How can evil come near your dwelling place when you become hallow of the Lord? Remember what Satan said to God concerning Job. He said, why will he not praise you? Why will he not worship you? He said, because you have made a hedge round about him. Because God has hallowed him. God will hallow you in Jesus' name. I want you to open your Bible to Numbers chapter 8. Numbers 8, I'm going to read from verse 5. The Levites were set aside unto the Lord. They were hallowed unto God. And let's see what God has to say about them. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, take the Levites from among the children of Israel and cleanse them. In other words, when you are hallowed unto the Lord, you are cleansed for the Lord. You are separated unto God, and thus shalt thou do unto them to cleanse them, sprinkle water of purifying upon them, and let them shave all their flesh, and let them wash their clothes, and so make themselves clean. Then let them take a young bullock with his meat offering, even the fine flour mingled with oil, and another young bullock shall thou take for a sin offering. And thou shalt bring the Levites before the tabernacles of the congregation, and thou shalt gather the whole assembly of the children of Israel together, and thou shalt bring the Levites before the Lord, and the children of Israel shall put their hands upon the Levites. And Aaron shall offer the Levites before the Lord for an offering of the children of Israel, that they may execute the service of the Lord. And the Levites shall lay their hands upon the heads of the bullocks, and thou shalt offer the one for a sin offering, and the other for a burnt offering unto the Lord, to make an atonement for the Levites. And thou shalt set the Levites before Aaron and before his sons, and offer them for an offering unto the Lord. Thus shalt thou separate the Levites from among the children of Israel, and the Levites shall be mine. And after that shall the Levites go in to do the service of the tabernacle of the congregation, and thou shalt cleanse them and offer them for an offering, for they are wholly given unto me from among the children of Israel, instead of such as open every womb, even instead of the firstborn of all the children of Israel have I taken them unto me. For all the firstborn of the children of Israel are mine, both man and beast. On the day that I smote every firstborn in the land of Egypt, I sanctified them for myself. And I have taken the Levites for all the firstborn of the children of Israel, and I have given the Levite as a gift to Aaron, to his sons from among the children of Israel, to do the service of the children of Israel in the tabernacle of the congregation, and to make an atonement for the children of Israel, and there be no plague among the children of Israel when the children of Israel come near unto the sanctuary. I told you it's a privileged place to be. To be chosen by God, for God to recognize you and set you aside and give you an assignment, and saying, look, you are in a position to intercede for other people. The first thing that God said that needs to happen to them in order for them to be hallowed unto himself is that they have to be cleansed. That they have to be hallowed, you know, to be hallowed unto God, they have to be cleansed. The word of God has the power to cleanse you. And part of fruitfulness is to bear fruits worthy of repentance. So that when you hear the word of God will purify you. The way it's going to purify you is when you yield to the word of God. And you are no longer dwelling where you used to dwell previously. Before you came in contact with the word, you were in a particular situation in your life, and the word comes to you, and you decide to change that particular perspective, to change that particular way of doing things. I told you how somebody must have read the open heavens just like me. And this person quickly sent a text to correct a possible misinformation. I'm sure he didn't tell the person to say what they said. But because he did not correct them there and then, he felt it was worthwhile. These days, you may say it was the day of the Levites. Remember that the Levites, they were serving before the high priest and his children, Aaron, the priest in the tabernacle of God. The Levites were the people who would go in between, you know, they were the musicians, they were the people who were praisers of God. They were the people who were coming, you know, bringing the offering of the children of God unto the Lord. And God said, set them aside for me. Purify them unto me. Cleanse them. Let's look at 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19 to 21. 2 Timothy chapter 2, 19 to 21. He said, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure.
In other words, the foundation of God has not shifted. God has not changed his principle. He still wants people who are hallowed unto himself. He still wants people who are cleansed to come before him and to minister before him. He said, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from what? From iniquity. If you name Christ, he said, do what? Depart from iniquity. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. What is the great house we are talking about here? The church is the great house. He's saying that people are different stages of their walk with God. There are some people who have caught the vision and revelation of God, and they are flying high. And there are people who are just starting. There are some people who are still living in doubt whether God is real or not. There are some people who are still debating it, whether they should plunge themselves into what God is doing or not. There are some people who still come to church and they live as if they have never known Christ. But the Bible is telling us this morning, he said there are different classes of people even in the church. It is important that we recognize where we are at as individuals. There are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. Look at verse 21, which is where I'm actually taking us to. He said, if a man therefore purge himself from this, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master use, and prepared unto every good work. Can you see the relationship between this and what happened to the Levites? That they were purified for the use of God. Until they were purified, God couldn't use them. He said, I've hallowed them, I've taken them, I've set them aside for my own use in place of the firstborn. And God wants to use us, and he will not be able to do so except we separate ourselves. Many of us don't understand what I'm saying yet. Except we realize, and I'm telling you, until you personalize the call of God upon your life, you may never know where you are going. If you are part of the throng, and you see yourself as part of the throng, you may never realize who you are in God. Until you realize that the message of this morning is for you. You as a person, not for your neighbor, but you as a person. And you take the things of God and personalize it and see that you are a race, you are a God seeker. And he's saying, if any man will purge himself of all these things, affairs of life, backsliding, unbelief, false doctrine, and the like, everything that has to do with iniquity, he said, if a man will purge himself, he said, God will do what? Will make him a vessel unto honor. In other words, the vessel of honor unto honor that God wants in the house are not yet complete. He wants many more. And you and I can be amongst them. And you'll be among them in Jesus' name. And what is it that will set you aside and set you apart and sanctify you? Jesus said in John 17, verse 17, he says, sanctify them by thy truth. Thy word is what? Is truth. The word of God is the sanctifier. That once we hear like this, we just change. We do things differently. God redeemed them unto himself. He said, he gives men for your sake. He substitutes people. What did God do for the Levites? He said, bring two bullocks. One for the sin offering. And the other one, sacrifice them. He redeemed them. God has redeemed you from the curse of the law. That is why Jesus came and died for you and I. Why are we not living the life of the redeemed of the Lord? Sanctify and set aside unto him, consecrated to him. They are consecrated to the Lord. That is why a lot of times we do ordination. You call people, the symbolism, that is why you call people out and say, look, so that they can see that they have been set aside for the things of God. And you know what? The Bible said, offer the Levites unto me. Just the way you offer the bullock. He said, offer the Levites. So in other words, those whom God has separated unto himself, they are offered unto God. Recently, I learned something from someone. You know how the Bible says in Romans chapter 12 verse 1, it says, brethren, I beseech you that you offer yourself a living sacrifice unto the Lord. Praise the Lord. You remember that? He said, offer yourself a living sacrifice. Somebody said, he said, the problem with living sacrifice is that whenever you place it on the altar, it's always wriggling off the altar. Living sacrifice, we always want to wriggle off. That's why when you and I, we make up our mind, we say, this is what I'm going to do. And before we know it, we are wriggling off the altar. We are not there. You don't want to die yet. The effective sacrifice will be dead to self and alive to God. You'll be alive to God from today in Jesus' name. When you be hallowed unto the Lord, God recognizes you as His. And like I told you, that you become the apple of God's eyes because God recognizes you as His, there are some things that God will automatically take care for you. There are some things that God will automatically take care of for you. Psalm 105 verse 12 to 15. He said, when they were but a few men in number, yea, very few, and strangers in it, when they went from one nation to another, from one kingdom to another people, he suffered no man to do them wrong. Yeah, he reproved king for their sakes, saying, touch not my anointed and do my prophets no harm. Do you remember king, what's the name of this king in Genesis chapter 20 verse 3, when he took Abraham's wife and Abraham told this man that this is my sister. And he saw that Abraham's wife, Sarah, was so beautiful and decided to appropriate Sarah unto himself. And what God went to him and told him in the night, he said, you are a dead man. He said, you are a dead man. If you touch this woman, you are a dead man. Let me tell you something. There are people who will touch you. There are people who want to touch things that belong to you. They are dead. It is not because of what you say. You don't even have to say a thing. Abraham didn't even go to God to report. He didn't even go to God to report. He just left Sarah in the company of the king. And God appeared and said, he said, do you know what you have done? This king who knew no God, he said, you are a dead man. And the king was afraid. Because the ones who are God seekers, remember the reason why Abraham left where he was, seeking after God. He knew not where he was going. There's no way you'll be seeking after God and God will not take care of you. He will take care of you in Jesus' name. You want to ascend to high places? Seek after God. That is what we read in Psalm 24, verse 3 to 6. Who will ascend unto the holy hill of the Lord? You want to ascend? You want to get to high places? Seek after God. He says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these shall be added unto you. Enough of misplaced priorities. Enough of what? Misplaced priorities. When we set our priority right, God will set us on the right path to our destiny. You'll be on the right path to your destiny in Jesus' name. The next thing I want to talk about is that God seekers and praisers look up to God. That's the other thing. If you really want to seek Him, if you are seeking God, look unto God. Learn to look unto God. We haven't done enough of looking unto God. My brethren, we haven't done enough yet of looking unto God. When we start looking unto God, it will be evident. Because the Bible says, by their fruits ye shall do what? Know them. by the kind of fruit we are going to start to bear, people will know that we are looking unto God. The psalmist said, he said, I will lift up my eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. I will lift up my eyes unto the hills. The hill in Jerusalem, that was where the tabernacle, you know, was set up. And he said, where will I look unto? I will look unto where the presence of the Lord is, because that is where my help is coming from. And Psalm 34 verse 4 and 5, he said, they look unto him and their faces were lightened and they were not ashamed. So everyone that will choose to look unto him, true God seekers will look unto him and their faces will be lightened. The reason why our faces are not lightened, why our bodies are not lightened, is because we don't look unto him, we look unto ourselves. When you look unto yourself, when we become self-preoccupied, when our concern is always with ourselves, we will not be lightened. I'm telling you. That is why we will continue to struggle and struggle and struggle and struggle. Little gain with godliness, little gain with contentment, it becomes a great gain in the hands of the one who is a God seeker. And you, because your joy does not consist, does not depend on how much you have. I've been telling us before, I said, look, the rate of suicide in this land, if only you know what I know, the rate of suicide in this place, I want to tell you that there is no day, almost no day in Australia that people are not killing themselves. And they are not poor people. Many of these people have lots of things that you and I, if you have them, But happiness does not depend on how much you have. It's good to have. Do you understand that? It's good to have. But it's not the quantity of what you have that is going to make you happy in life. In fact, let me tell you, as I said last week, you may even have, and you have no time to enjoy it, because you are always running and trying to have more. You will keep running. It doesn't end. As soon as you hear that a friend, maybe you have 5 houses, you hear of a friend that has 8, the race starts. By the time you have 8 houses, you hear of another friend that has 12. Then you are running. And then by the time you have 12, you hear, what do you have 12 and you are happy? There's somebody who has 16. 16? It doesn't end. And you will run and run and run and run and run. You will have no time to even appreciate your maker. You see, unbelief and distrust for God is why we cannot consistently look unto him. Unbelief and distrust for him. But when you look unto him, it brings you blessings. It will save you from troubles. Let me tell you, if we look unto men, you will never have freedom to worship God. Long ago, I made up my mind that I will have only one God in my life, and that is Jehovah. I made up my mind that I will only have one God in my life, and that's him that I fear. Only him. Man, forget about it. But God, in trepidation, because I know he can deliver me. I know he can save me. I know he's the great rewarder. I know that I'm safe with him. Because if God is with you, let there be thousands of people, and they say there's no way for you. I remember one of my friends, he's now late, was telling me about what happened in his final exams. He used to be an activist. He used to be an activist. well known, I mean, very vocal. And so he was well known, and one of the teachers had his eyes on him. And the day he was supposed to do his final exams, went in for viva. When it was going to be his turn, the teacher just developed diarrhea and had to go into the loo. And before he came back, he got examined and left the place, because he knew if this guy was there, the chances of him making it was poor. No, I'm talking about real life story. God will make a way for you in Jesus' name. I say God will make a way for you in Jesus' name. Psalm 91 verse 14 and 15 says, because he hath set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high because he had known my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and I will honor him. That's the God seeker. The one who will look unto God. And God says, because he has set his eye on me, he will answer your prayers. He will answer your prayers. He will lift you up. He will promote you. Praise the Lord. When we say this thing, it sounds like theory. But I'm telling you, I'm a living proof. You will be a living proof in Jesus' name. Because the honor of heaven is far greater than the honor of the earth. The honor that man can give you. Oh. Many of us who have come for prayer, you know, I've been talking about this in the last few days. I've been talking about a pastor in town. Maybe I shouldn't mention names on the pulpit. A pastor in town. This pastor, every one of us will know. The record she set in tennis, nobody has ever beat that record. How many grand slams? 62 grand slams. If you talk about a name, she has a name to protect. Hasn't she got a name? If you talk about reputation, she has a reputation to guide. She wouldn't want anything. But because she set her eyes on the Almighty God, she came out and said, this is not right that Steve will be in love with Adam. She said, this is not right. And that the society should not condone it. People started coming out. A woman should not preach. All the while, the many years that she's been preaching, nobody knew that a woman should not preach. Because she spoke the truth, people are now saying a woman should not preach. A woman, you know, she's not covering her head. They started saying all sorts of things. The kingdom of darkness will fight back. Some people even said that they should remove her name from the arena in Melbourne. Just because she said. Those who are God seekers, you look unto him, not unto men for honor. Because the honor that men gave you, you see what just happened. You don't have freedom to worship God if men are the one honoring you. Because as soon as you do, you are not in agreement with them, they say, let's remove her name. And I want as many of us as possible to be praying for her. I'm praying for other pastors in town. And I kept telling people, if we have like 200 pastors who will come out and say, this is not right, the world will listen. Because they know she has a powerful voice. That's why everyone is shaking and fighting her. Because they know what she says carries weight. In your own circle, what you say also carry weight. Say the mind of God. Praise the Lord. This lady knows the principle that God will honor her. The honor of men will be temporary, but there's one that honors and no one can dishonor, and that is the living God. That's the God we serve. He will honor you in Jesus' name. Like everything else, to have the honor of heaven comes with a price tag. Like everything else, If you are going to have the honor of heaven, there is a price tag. There is going to be a struggle. Let's open to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Verse 1 to 4. He said, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Be strong. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure." I want verse 3. He said, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." Many Christians don't want to endure hardness. He said, endure what? Hardness. If you are going to look unto God, you must be ready to endure hardness. You are going to lose popularity. There will be rumors about you. You are going to be isolated. You will lose friends. You may lose comfort. You lose all sorts of things. He said, endure hardness. That's what the hardness is all about. In those days, people got beaten. He said, endure hardness as a soldier of the cross. Many of us want to balance it here and there. You cannot. You can't. A servant cannot serve two masters. You are either serving God or serving mammon. You cannot honor God and at the same time honor man. You are either honoring God or honoring man. If you honor God, you may not be in a position to honor man. Everything. I mean, when you see somebody who is against the things of God, they cannot be your friend if you honor God. You can't serve two masters. He said, endure hardness. Endure hardness. He said, "For no man that worried and entangled himself with the affairs of this life, that he may place him who has chosen him to be a soldier." Think of who called you. That's the person you want to please. God seekers and praisers. Are the people that God will promote to the level of God in this world. If you are a God seeker and you are a praiser of God, God will promote you and make you a God to your enemies. Did you hear that? He will make you a God to who? To your enemies. You become a God. Okay. Somebody, before somebody says blasphemy, I'm sure you know, open your Bible to John chapter 10. The book of John chapter 10. Those who will partake of those blessings are the people who seek God. John chapter 10 verse 34 and 35. Let me read it from Amplified Version. It says, "Jesus answered, 'Is it not written in your law, I said, you are gods?'" So men are called gods by the law. Men to whom God's message came, and the scripture cannot be set aside or cancelled or broken or annulled. Can you hear that? You become a terror to the enemy. You become a God. You decree and it will stand. And who are the people who become gods? Who are the people who become gods? Maybe let me read from King James Version. It says, "Jesus answered them and said, 'Is it not written in your law, I said, ye are gods? If he called them gods, unto whom the word of God came,'" these are the people who become God, the people who receive the word of life. That is why you have to be fruitful. People who receive the word of life and start to live it, you become terror, you become God. The people whom the word came to, they are the ones who become gods. It is the word of God in your life that establishes your rulership in the world. Outside the world, you have no power. He said, "If you abide in me and I abide in you, you will bear much fruit." He said, "Without me, you can do what? Nothing." The The word has to come to you, and you get a revelation of your position in Christ Jesus. The day you get that revelation, that is the day you begin to walk and function like God in this world. Exodus chapter 4, verse 15 and 16. God was speaking to Moses. After Moses had complained, I can't do this, I can't do that, he said, look, call your brother, call Aaron, ask him to come. You become a God to Aaron. That's not the first time God will call people God. He said, you become God to Aaron. He will hear the voice, or he will hear the word from your mouth, and he will go and speak to the people. What makes you God is the fact that your pronouncement stands. Your pronouncement will begin to stand in Jesus' name. We have been discouraged from living the life of faith. Everything we are hearing tries to tell us that it's no longer possible. You know, yesterday, I was just laughing to myself as we were all lying on the grass. And we're talking about people doing press-ups. And one of the brothers was told, you know, he said, don't bother, I can't do press-ups. He said, why? He said, because of the economic situation, praise the Lord. He said, because of the economic situation, you can no longer do press-ups again. And like many of us, we cannot do spiritual press-ups anymore because of the economic situation. You know, there are two sides to economic situation. You know what I mean. Praise the Lord. The Lord will establish you in Jesus' name. Those who seek and praise God, they automatically become fighters. And they are set to be victorious. God seekers and praisers are fighters. And we know the outcome, that they are said to be victorious. I want you to open your Bible to Job, the book of Job, chapter 14. In case you don't want to be a fighter, let me show you first. Job 14:14, Amplified Version says, if a man dies, shall he live again? Listen to this. He said, all the days of my warfare and service, I will wait till my change and release shall come. In other words, Job knew that call, that position, that place is a place of warfare. He said, all the days of my warfare and service to the Lord, I will wait until my change come, until the Lord. In other words, I will keep fighting. I am not going to give up until I see the salvation of the Lord, until God brings to pass his counsel concerning me. It's a struggle. It's warfare. It's warfare. If you are going to be a God seeker, you know you are at war. You are at war. Let's open to the book of 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 11 and 12. Warfare. Let's look at 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 11 and 12. He said, but thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. The first warfare, I've told you before. The first war you have to win is which war? The war of self. If you know you are seeking God, the first war that you have to win, the first battle you have to win, is the battle against self. That's what Paul was telling Timothy there. He said, but thou, O man of God. He didn't say for the congregation under you. He said, but thou, you man of God, flee these things. Fight yourself first. Conquer yourself. God will help you to conquer yourself in Jesus' name. Talking about conquering yourself. I recently bought a book and I was just reading. And somebody put it in a different perspective that I've never thought about it before. What the person said is this. The person said, you have to parent your emotion. He said, parent your feelings. Parent your feeling. In other words, be the parent of your feelings. He said, if you don't parent your feeling, if you don't rule your emotion, you'll become a slave to it. He said, parent your feelings. How do you parent your feelings? If you are going to seek after God, let's look at parenting and emotional control. How are they similar? If you've had a 2 to 3 year old before, the first thing about them is this. Let's look at the similarity. The 2 to 3 year old, do they tell you when they want to cry? Do they take permission from you? They don't take permission, they will cry. Whether it is reasonable or unreasonable, they will cry. Your emotion, when you feel sad or unhappy sometimes, does it take permission from you before it comes? To feel low sometimes. Maybe you don't feel low, you're always happy. I do. Sometimes I wake up, I don't feel like going to work sometimes. I wake up, I don't even feel happy. It doesn't take permission from me. It just comes like that. The other thing about emotion and parenting is this. When you have a 2-year-old or a 3-year-old and they start to cry and you think it's unreasonable and you stop them and you say, for example, Mama King, say, King, oh yeah, keep quiet. Does King keep quiet? What will King do? Stop his feet, the boy. Our emotion is the same thing. The moment you want to put control, that desire will rise up and rise up and rise up and rise up as if your life depends upon it. What will a good parent do? A good parent will look at it and say, this is not necessary. Another way that a child can be unreasonable is this. Their reaction to the situation will be out of proportion with what has happened. Maybe somebody just mistakenly kicked the toy. Instead of just going forward and pick up the toy, the child will stay there because he wants mommy to notice and start crying there and say, what's happening? Say, some kids, when they fall, they won't even rise up until daddy or mommy comes and hold them up because they want to be noticed. Our emotions is like that. Sometimes it just come out of, and you know that what is going on in your life is not as big as that. And you are so upset, you are so angry, you are so sad, as if the whole world is going to end. Why don't you tell yourself, this situation is not as bad as that? The Bible said, David encouraged himself in the Lord. He said, why are you downcast? Oh, my spirit, why are you downcast? Encourage yourself in the Lord. Don't let your feeling run riot and rule over you. If you are a God seeker, that is the kind of life you start to live. You see someone has something and you say, I must get it. I must get that type of thing. Is it necessary? You may not even need it. Put your emotion in check. That is what a God seeker does. It's not just everything that you desire. You just say, oh, I must have it. I must have it. It shows that you are not yet in control. When you are in control, it can wait. I told you about a brother who wanted to give something to somebody, and the person did something stupid, and the devil just said, now you see why this is why you shouldn't give it to him. He just said, and the guy said, okay, I'm going to double it. Praise the Lord. Be in control. Tell your neighbor, say, be in control. Be in control. Parent your emotion. That's the only way we can work with God. As I was having a meeting with the teaching team yesterday, one of the things that came up is this. They said people start to take ownership of things that should not be their own. We said, people say, this is my sickness. This is my cancer. This is my anger. This is my nature. Things that are not good, they are not your nature. That's not you. That's not who God has made you to be. Parent your emotion. And God will take charge of your life in Jesus' name. And one of our winning strategies is to continue to confess Jesus. To continue to confess the victory of Jesus, His goodness, His mercy, His abilities, and begin to thank God in the situation we are in until you see it come to pass. Because the words of faith will bring faith into your life. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Keep confessing it. Now we have been told not to confess them anymore. People say it's not practical. It is practical. And the word of fear will bring fear into your life. Let me tell you something. If you are going to walk with him and you are truly his seeker, one of those who are seeking him, the road can be rough. In Genesis chapter 49, verse 22, look at what the Bible said about Joseph there. But let me tell you something. Of all the 12 children of Jacob, how many of them suffered like Joseph? How many? None of them suffered like Joseph. How many of them was greater than Joseph? With suffering comes greatness. He suffered the most and he was the greatest. We don't want to suffer. We don't want to sacrifice everything. If we are going to be successful, we need to make sacrifice. In raising our children, sacrifice. In building our home, sacrifice. Even in looking after your body, sacrifice. You will see chocolate like this. You want to eat it. You just say, no. I feel like grabbing. You know, my office at work. My office is here. The dining area, the kitchen at work is in front. So my window is like this. And I watch people. You know, people bring in chocolate and bring in the morning. They've just put it there. You see some people, they'll just come and dip. And they go. And you see them come back again. And they'll... I've just been looking and I've been watching, and so one day somebody told me, he's a doctor, he said, because he grew up in a family with many children, this person has had myocardial infarction on 3 or 4 occasions. He was now telling me, he said he grew up in a family of many children. He said it was a struggle. Everyone had to struggle to get their own share. He said, since then, he said, that's why he cannot see food and not eat. And I just said, no, I'm serious. I'm talking about a 50-something-year-old person telling me this. And I just said, well, and I said, thank God. I said, me, I grew up in a home. I'm the middle child. I said, my brother used to carry me on his neck. And if he killed a rat, he would bring the meat for me to eat. Praise the Lord. I said, that's why I can sacrifice. I can give to people. Praise God. That is self-control. People don't want to suffer. They don't. Everything that King Solomon said, he said, everything that my eyes saw, I grab it. If it were to be this day, if he saw any car, he would buy it. If he see a neighbor's wife, he would take it. He would do everything. He said, I restricted nothing from myself. He said, vanity upon vanity. All is vanity. If you are going to be a God seeker, self-restrain. Second Samuel chapter 5, verse 17, as we close. I'll paraphrase it. Basically what he said is this: we've talked about dealing with yourself, we are talking about dealing with the external enemy. He said, as soon as the Philistine heard that David has been anointed king, what did they do? They decided they were going to wage war against Israel. Do you know the fact that God has called you is the reason why the kingdom of darkness will be agitated? And why you have to be at war? I've told people in the church before. People don't understand the way of God yet. They don't understand spiritual things yet. Look, when God starts to use you very well in the things of God, you will see he will come with his wiles. He will come to discourage you. He will come to buy you over. He will come to do all sorts of things and sow seed of discord into you. If you don't understand, you will think he's doing you what is right. And I'm telling you, it's not. He's waiting for a way to destroy you, because at the end of the day, all that he wants to do is to stop you. I will close by reading these poems to us. The first one is by a man called Ralph Waldo Emerson. He says, "A hero is not fed on sweets. Daily his own heart he eats. Chambers of the great are jails, and headwind right for royal cells." The second one is this. Listen, he said, "The mark of rank in nature is capacity for pain." Listen to that. The mark of rank in nature is capacity for pain. Only people who bear pain succeed in life. "And the anguish of the singer makes the sweetest of the strain. If you can't persevere, you cannot make it with God. But one thing I can tell you is this: God is your sufficiency, and he has what it takes to see you through, so that you make a success of every area of your life in Jesus' name." Can we just rise up, please? Just bless the name of the Lord, glorify him, just worship him, magnify the Lord. Thank God for his word. Thank God for his word, for he's a good God. Thank God for his word, for he's a good God. And you are going to pray again and say, "Father, may I bear fruit according to these words. May I bear fruit according to the words of today in Jesus' name. Help me to bear fruit according to you. I will persevere. I will do well. I will succeed. I will not grumble. I will not murmur. I will not complain. I will see your hand wrought miracles in my life. I will see you greater than my problem. I will see you greater than my situation. My Father, my God, I know I'm not designed for failure, so I cannot fail because I've heard your word. I seek you. I seek you. You are the source of success. Oh, I seek you, the Lord. You are the answer to my prayers. I seek you, God. I begin to bear fruit from today in Jesus' name." Thank you, Daddy. Pray to the Lord. Pray to the Lord. Ask him that you bear fruit every area of your life. Whether you are a student, you are a worker, the word is applicable to you. Whether you are a housewife or a husband, whether you are a child, a father, a mother, whoever you may be, this word is applicable to you. Your ability to stay the course and stay focused on God is what is going to separate you from the mere men. Thank you, Daddy. I just thank you for the word of today. For no life that is under the power of my voice today will ever remain the same again in Jesus' name. Lord, I've delivered the word even as you have sent me. And my prayer, oh God, is that your children shall be fruitful according to the words of today in Jesus' name.
Thank you, Holy Spirit of God. Blessed be your name, O God. We will see proofs in our lives in Jesus' name. Anyway, I will see proof in my life in Jesus' name. The world will see proof in my life in Jesus' name. I will not be who I was last year. I will not be who I am today. I will be moved to a greater and a higher ground in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Let's share the grace in fellowship.